Greeting, friends. Patrick Wood here for the Quickening Report. We're going to talk about a very deep subject today. I hope I can do it justice, and I hope I can make sense of it for you, but it has a lot to do with the technocratic movement, with the technocratic mindset, and it could potentially be extremely dangerous for society. We've talked a lot about technocrats, the mind of a technocrat, in the past several episodes. We've talked about the potential harm that could be done to society by various programs that some technocrats have implemented. We've talked about surveillance. We've talked about energy transformation, transformation of government, transformation of the economy, transformation of religion. And the technocrat meme, as we also know, coming from the World Economic Forum, if nowhere else, is divided into two parts. One has to do with transforming the world, a la technocracy. The other is transforming humanity, a la transhumanism. That is to use genetic engineering to change the condition of man. Now, all those things are very disturbing, for sure, and they need to be understood. They need to be known. Ignoring these things is not an answer. We need to face them and figure out what can be done, if anything, to either protect ourselves or to change the outcome. I don't know where it's going to come down. I do not have a crystal ball, and I can't go into the future that far. I'm sorry. But today we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. This is one thing that is near and dear to the hearts of technocrats everywhere, especially in Silicon Valley, where it's being developed mostly. But elsewhere in the world as well, China is a big developer of artificial intelligence software as well. But in America, there is a new program that was released last November called, well, it's a program, it's a service at least. It's a program called ChatGPT. ChatGPT. And we're going to talk about that today because, it needs to be talked about. Not enough analysts have weighed in on this yet to really describe what ChatGPT is all about. There is some measure of fear out there right now, I know, with a little bit that has been released. But people all across the world are all of a sudden, boom, since last November, using ChatGPT for things that are absolutely inconceivable. You never would have saw this coming, say, 6 months ago. But it has come. And so I'm going to show you a couple of headlines, and we're going to talk this through in a couple of issues, a couple of stories here that I put up on Technocracy News just today. And I mentioned Once Upon a Time, by the way. It's interesting how stories seem to kind of gang together on the same topic. And this is what happened today again. Three articles popped up on ChatGPT, and I thought, man, I can't ignore this. We're going to use every one of them. The first thing I want to point out here is that there was a congressman just the other day in Washington who delivered a speech on the floor that was actually written by this ChatGPT artificial intelligence program. Now, this is a service. When I say program, it's not something you download to your computer. You can't run it standalone on your computer or on your smartphone or anywhere else. This is a service where when you go to their website, like you see the screen right here, ChatGPT, when you go to their website, you can create an account and you can play with ChatGPT. Some people are doing more than playing, but you could dink around with it if you want to and find out for yourself what it's all about. But behind the screen, there are supercomputers that are powering this thing. It's an incredibly large program. And it also has an incredible amount of data that it has learned from in order to give answers back to general questions that people would ask it. And it's hard, in fact, it's impossible to try and describe the program itself, how it's written, how it's done, and that's probably immaterial. The output is what is important. In this case, a congressman figured that it would be cool to have his statement that he wanted to make to Congress, to the rest of the House of Representatives. It would be cool if he developed it in text with this ChatGPT program. So he asked it a question or gave it a criteria, write me a speech on such and such for the the House of Representatives, and it did. It was a short speech. It was only just a few paragraphs. But this is a first. This has never been, this never happened before. This representative is a young man. He said he likes technology. Sounds to me like kind of has the mind of a technocrat here, but that's aside. He was the first one to reach the House of Representatives with a speech developed exclusively by ChatGPT. You wonder how many more people in politics across the country will actually jump on ChatGPT to start creating text for them, either to speak or to write. Because students, for instance, have figured out that ChatGPT can actually write multi-page term papers for them. And sometimes they sound really, really good. There's every once in a while a faux pas, and it doesn't sound really good, but sometimes they're spot on, as some people have said. Yeah, that's really good. Academics in universities and elsewhere are using ChatGPT to write academic papers. They put in the criteria for the paper as a question or as an instruction. Write me a 1,000-word or 5,000-word a paper on such and such a topic, and include this, include that. Don't include this other thing, or don't mention this other thing. Whatever. The instructions can get quite detailed. And within seconds, ChatGPT, the program, will kick back exactly what you ask for. So academics, all of a sudden, lazy as they are, just like everybody else, are using ChatGPT to create academic reports. And you know what? They're fooling other academics. They're fooling them. They're not picking up on it, that it wasn't that particular academic that wrote it, that it was ChatGPT that wrote it. This is very dangerous. Because now we have essentially, all these academics that are brilliant in some ways, I suppose, able to write, they're able to articulate. Instead of doing it themselves, they're using artificial intelligence to do it for them, and they're fooling people into thinking it was them. Well, let's just talk about this one story first. We're going to dig into this a little bit deeper, but let's just talk about this congressman just for a minute. And I'm going to scroll down here, and I'm going to show you what I wrote here, and I just would ask you to follow along with me on it. ChatGPT seemingly wants to take over the world, but it is, after all, just a chatbot. That's kind of an understatement, isn't it? It's ignorant to call it just a chatbot. But after all, it is not sentient. It's not human. It does not have emotions. It can't think in that in like a human, for instance. But still, it is a slippery technocrat slope to use it to create or speak about legislation before Congress. This is Pandora's box, and it suggests a dumbing down of real people who were hired or elected to a particular job. Now, the representative in question here was Representative Jake Auchincloss. He decided to deliver this speech on a bill that would create a U.S.-Israel Artificial Intelligence Center. He opted to let AI do the talking. The brief, only two-paragraph speech, it says, read by Massachusetts Democrat on the floor. It's interesting here, by the way, that he is a Democrat. Of the U.S. House of Representatives Wednesday was generated by the online AI chatbot ChatGPT. His staff said they believe it's the first time that's ever been done, and I'm absolutely sure that it is. The bill, which the representative is refiling, would establish a joint U.S.-Israel AI center in the United States to serve as a hub for AI research and development in the public, private, and education sectors. So you can kind of see what this is all about. This guy is very much talking like the technocrat that he probably is, in love with technology. He's in love with artificial intelligence. And of course, Israel, I might add, is one of the global leaders on development of artificial intelligence. So combining their resources with what we have in the United States, that would be quite a feat. But he figures AI is going to help him get there with this. So, wow. So just how important is ChatGPT? I'm going to give you some magnitude numbers here. Last year, Microsoft jumped into this program or this company called OpenAI, which is the maker, developer of ChatGPT. And Microsoft put in $1 billion last year. That's a lot of money, by the way. And apparently it pushed them over the edge to actually be able to release this program when it came time in November. However, I note here that ChatGPT is turning the AI world on its head. Google, by the way, and this is interesting too, Google is in an absolute panic right now because it doesn't own OpenAI, and the ChatGPT program is threatening Google's monopoly on artificial intelligence. And yes, Google uses AI top to bottom in all of its, everything it does, basically, including its search engine. So Microsoft first invested $1 billion, and not actually, it was in 2019, and now they're putting in another $10 billion into it. Wow, that's a huge investment. And you can imagine that whatever ChatGPT is today, it's going to be something much more advanced, say a year from now, with that kind of money and that kind of research going into it. So they announced Microsoft, a longer-term relationship, a multi-year, multi-billion-dollar investment with ChatGPT maker OpenAI. The deal marks the third phase. They've been at this for a while. The third phase of the partnership between the two companies following Microsoft's previous investment in 2019 and 2021. Microsoft said the renewed partnership will accelerate breakthroughs in AI and help both companies commercialize advanced technologies in the future. Now, yeah, if you haven't figured this here, you can just understand why Google is having a fit right now. Because Microsoft all of a sudden is leapfrogging the technology using this new system that OpenAI cooked up called ChatGPT. They have leapfrogged much of what Google has done in the past. And if they continue in this direction, it could potentially be a real comeuppance for Google. In fact, I saw an article a couple of weeks ago. It was interesting that the two original founders of Google were called back in on an emergency basis to have a discussion about ChatGPT and what to do about it, how to build a response to it. Well, they may come up with a response. I don't know. Knowing Google, they have plenty of resources, plenty of people behind them, engineers and stuff that could probably do something that would be competitive. Heaven forbid that there would be two versions or two different iterations of something like ChatGPT floating around. So let's look at the third story, and this is really interesting now as well. This kind of brings it all together. There's an AI conference, at one of the top AI conferences in the world, that has actually banned GPT, ChatGPT, from writing academic papers. This is, you have to figure that it is AI going to eat the people that made it? You have to wonder, because now it's coming back to bite them. And here's kind of the idea. And I'll just say again, just for reference, ChatGPT stands for, here's the definition, Chat Generative Pre-trained Transformer. Now, that doesn't mean a lot for you. That's why I haven't mentioned it so far. It's a Chat Generative Pre-trained Transformer. Well, that's great. Not like the movie Transformers, but you already get the idea what the functions are. You ask it questions, you give it instructions, and it will do stuff for you. In fact, some coders, some programmers have asked it to write programs. And ChatGPT actually generates the code in whatever language they require it in. And they tested the code that it writes, and it works. It actually works. Well, ChatGPT can perform natural language generation at such a high level of accuracy that it can actually pass the Turing test. Now, you may remember the movie, The Turing Test. It's where a test for several minutes of a person having a conversation with a computer and not realizing that they're having a conversation with a computer. They're thinking it's a real person. That's the Turing Test. That's how accurate and how advanced this AI is. You can talk to it probably for an hour, and you still wouldn't have any idea that you're actually talking to a machine and not a person. It fools humans that they are communicating with a computer. Even technocrat AI leaders now are recognizing the dangerous implications and are erecting stop signs on their own. Is anybody listening? No, they're not. Because now ChatGPT is offered free on the internet, doesn't cost anybody a nickel. People are diving into it all over the world to be used for all kinds of different things. Students are writing term papers. Academics are writing research papers with it. I listened to one video today, pretty creative thought, that YouTubers now, people that generate videos and stuff, the crazy videos for YouTube, they are using ChatGPT to create scripts for them to read in their videos that they're putting up on YouTube. And of course, that's Instagram and all the rest of them too. They're all, you know, kind of in the technology together. But they're creating these phony scripts. They're saying, well, I want to talk about this and that and such, and ChatGPT just gives it to them. And maybe they say, give me 1,000 words on this topic and why this topic is going to be hot in the next 6 months. And ChatGPT kicks them back their 1,000 words. They take the 1,000 words and just read it as if they said it themselves or thought it up themselves. But they didn't think it up themselves. It was a fraud. Now, the YouTube world and all the other iterations too is going to be flooded with ChatGPT-generated text, where the so-called talent that is going to be in front of the camera doesn't necessarily have two brain cells to rub together. And they grab the text, and if they're good at reading it, they will fool everybody into thinking, well, they're a genius. People are really together on this. But it's not real. It's not generated by a real person with a real mind and real emotions. It's just an AI program that strings a bunch of words together based on stuff that is read elsewhere on the internet. And people think that it's human generated. Well, the people within the AI community, like this particular conference, it's called the International Conference on Machine Learning, ICML. It is one of the top conferences in the world. Well, they do entertain academic papers. They call for academic papers for their, you know, when they have their meetings around the world. And they see already that their own academics are using ChatGPT just in a few short months since last November. They're using ChatGPT to create their academic papers that they're submitting. And, you know, they're saying, excuse me, but wait a minute. No, that's not real. You can't use AI programs to generate this academic report that you're going to tell the rest of the world that you wrote. Well, you can see the problem. And you can see the headline. Again, you can understand it. This conference banned ChatGPT. Says, nope, don't even think about using it. And they don't want to see their own area of expertise cut to shreds with artificial information or artificially generated information. This is exactly what's happening. Now, the societal effects of this, I have to say, we need to discuss that. Because what's happening is that this artificial intelligence program can be used by anybody, even a fifth grader could use it. You're talking about high school students. You're talking about young adults who may or may not have any education or training to do anything in life. You're talking about an entire academic community around the world who we already know is famous, much of it is famous for bad data and for bad papers. And now they're going to automate the process for all those people. The world of knowledge is about to be exploded. We're talking, if you think about it for a minute, we're talking about not only papers that seem to be authoritative, and books, yes, ChatGPT will write a book as well. Books are going to appear that were written by ChatGPT. All kinds of papers, all kinds of scientific conclusions, et cetera, are going to appear because of ChatGPT. The YouTube video world is going to be flooded with this stuff now. There was one paper and video that I looked at today, actually, just earlier, that shows a trainer that produces video training for different topics on to put up on video on like YouTube or wherever. And the entire process now can be automated from start to finish with ChatGPT, number one, generating text, and another program, it's not related, but another program that allows for the text to be taken to do a dubbing process, that is an overspeak process on your video using your voice. AI now, this just came out recently, AI now can be trained within minutes to duplicate your voice. So if I took a 500-page or a 500-word statement, put it into a text reader that knows my voice, I can push the button and have it read the entire statement as if I spoke it myself. And even though I might be able to tell that my inflection or my diction might be a little bit off, you would never know. I could do an entire broadcast here that way, and you would never know that it was all phony. I'm not going to do that to you, by the way, but you could. And many people are picking up on this because it's a free lunch. For them, it's a free lunch. That's why there has been such a stampede of every conceivable age group, specialty group, education group, doesn't matter. That's why there's been such a stampede to use ChatGPT for some economic advantage, especially. And it's just getting started. I think ChatGPT is in version 4 right now. And versions are coming very quickly, I might add, but it's version 4. And by the time versions 5, 6, 7, and 8 come out, you can imagine how much further advanced this is going to be. I saw another statement by somebody, a rapper, who asked GPT to write a rap song. They gave it some parameters, say, write me a rap song. It was a perfect rap song. The guy said it or, you know, performed it, and nobody knew that it was generated by ChatGPT, except that he would tell them. Coders, as I mentioned, programmers can request that code be written by ChatGPT for a particular purpose, and it will deliver the code to them, and they just copy-paste it and put it in their programs. And they call it their own. Is there something wrong with that? You think? A little unethical? Maybe bordering on fraud, in a sense? How about if a customer pays you a lot of money to write a big program for them? You say, sure, I'll write it. I'm an expert. I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm an expert. I know all about that programming system, yada, yada. I know your business. I'll be glad to write it for you. So you go back to your office, and instead of banging out the code on your own keyboard, you go to ChatGPT and say, write me some code. And what might have taken you 10 hours to write only takes GPT, ChatGPT, maybe 3 or 4 seconds to write. And then you plug the code in, maybe you tweak it a little bit, and all of a sudden you've got yourself a program. Something's wrong with this picture. But you see, there is this element of a free lunch right now. Everybody's diving into it because it's easy to get to, it's free, and it has immediate benefits for people. Imagine a high school student, and I was one once, you probably were too. Remember how you sweat when your English teacher told you, or some other class told you, it's time to write a term paper. Yeah, 1,000 words or 1,500 words on some topic. And you started sweating. And you sweated and sweated, and you cried to your parents, and you cried to your friends. I can't do it. I can't write. I don't know what I'm going to say, all that kind of stuff. Students haven't changed. When they get that today, they're in the same boat. And so, yeah, ChatGPT, baby. Let's go there. Give it a few instructions. Give me 500 words. Give me 1,000 words. Give me 1,500 words on some topic. Maybe, describing some philosopher or something like Descartes, or maybe Henri de Saint-Simon, the father of scientism. Give me an essay on that. Yes, sir. Well, it doesn't say yes, sir. It's so fast, within a few seconds, it actually gives you back your 1,500 words and say, here you go. And you're in business. And all of a sudden, you haven't really exercised your brain to write a term paper. Teachers are already trying to figure out when a student pulls that kind of garbage on them, but they can't. They don't have the tools. And the text is so good, all the teacher could say is, this isn't you. This is much too sophisticated for you, as I know you as a student. That's about all they could say, but they can't really prove on the surface of it that it was written, generated by ChatGPT. Otherwise, a student just might get an A+. If he's already a good student, might get an A+, and there you go. So ChatGPT is going to turn the world upside down. It's just beginning, still in its early stages. You need to pay attention to it. You need to read what you can when you see articles come by. Please do check them out. Go to Technocracy News today for sure and read the articles on ChatGPT on the front page. And in the meantime, if you have a student in your house, watch them carefully, because they might be tapped into ChatGPT as well. Well, I'm the real Patrick Wood, and I'm the real Quickening Report, and I'm here, and this is not a fake video. It could have been, but it's not a deep fake video. I will see you next episode. In the meantime, God bless.